Well, we're just past the mid-year point of the school year and really heading into the home stretch here. Good morning. It is 8:13. It's Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumm, Nick Isher here on your Thursday morning. And we've been doing kind of our mid-year tour of schools, talking to the local superintendents. Joining us this morning is United District 304 Superintendent Jeff Witsit. Jeff, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming in here this morning. I know you've been doing some investigating, but just haven't dug deep enough. And the thing is, you only had 1 year. Your first year as superintendent was the year Nick graduated. So just 1 year together. But I'm sure you're not finding all my secrets. Well, you were telling us that that the former superintendent Bill Reese stops by every now and then. You get a chance to chat with him. So you'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you'll find out.
Yeah.
He knows. All right. Well, Jeff, again, thanks for coming in with us here this morning. So just past the mid-year point of school, kind of, I mean, yeah, in, really in the home stretch, though.
Yeah, we really are. Next Friday ends our third 9 weeks, our third grading period. So we'll be starting the home stretch. You know, graduation, I had a senior tell me last week that they only have 9 weeks of school left last week, so
wow.
Which is probably right. I don't count. It really doesn't make a difference to me.
But the seniors keep track.
Your year does not end at that point.
No, my year doesn't. But you know, and I actually have a senior that lives in my house, so he's keeping me posted pretty regularly. So.
Like, good for you, son, but dad works perpetually.
Yep. Yeah, he understands that. Yeah. He's known that for a long time. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about up to this point of the year, talk about kind of some of the good things that you've seen this year and some good things going on in United District 304.
We've had a big year. It seems like you go through lulls, and, of course, with the funding question marks that there have been for the last couple of years, we had a good year last year, and we're able to come into this year with a little bit of a different approach. So we did some things. I'm going to start with we added a counselor, a school counselor at our elementary level. We've always had one that split between our elementary buildings. But with the social emotional issues that we're seeing walk through our doors anymore and just the kind of things that kids in general, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean they're coming from a bad home life or a bad family, but there's a lot of things out there in this world right now. And so we were able to add a school counselor and develop an elementary social-emotional curriculum that we are implementing. So each classroom in our elementary buildings is getting some social-emotional curriculum at least 1 day a week with a educated and a certified counselor. And we've seen big gains on that already. I mean, and like we just said, we're not even three-quarters of the way through the school year yet, but That's a situation and we're trying to get ahead of. We're trying to stem the problems before they become. And we just decided as a board and as an administrative team that would be a great place to start. And that curriculum has been phenomenal. We got great people doing it, obviously, but, that's been a big boon for us.
That's a great idea. And is that something that had you seen that being implemented in other districts or just something you kind of
I think bigger districts have probably always had a counselor per. It's, you know, when you start talking districts our size, you start talking full-time equivalents and how much can you spread people out, unfortunately. And we've been doing that, you know, since we became United, we've kind of had that counselor back and forth between the buildings. But we just, over the last year or two, we really saw some definite needs, and we just thought, you know what, if we address those earlier and more directly and have someone on top of them all the time, maybe we can worry about the other things down the line.
Well, and I was going to bring up the issue of security, which is big right now, but that, in some ways, that is a big part of that, and that's why it's such a good idea, starting especially with the younger kids, that maybe you can, not to say that any of the kids you have in your district would have ever done anything, but it really helps having somebody there and the things they're learning.
We're big believers in that. It sounds cliche, but we're kind of taking the approach, and not that we're ignoring security, and because we have plans for security upgrades to all of our buildings to happen starting this summer. But we've taken the stance, and it's our belief that we're going to work as hard as we can to make sure none of our kids want to do anything like that, and that they feel comfortable where they're at, and they want to be in our buildings and with our people. So we just feel like, you know, if we show them how much we care, that, you know, we're going to stem those things before they happen. Again, it doesn't mean we can just eliminate the idea of security, but, you know, that is a definite, it's a conscious approach among our United staff.
Well, and I know that you can't give specifics, but and also as a superintendent, you get to, I know you feel your district is safe, but you're always going to look at, and like you said, you're going to be implementing some physical changes in that, and you probably can't talk about everything, but kind of talk about, you know, what, you know, when things like what happened in Florida happen. I'm guessing each time, and it's probably an ongoing process, but when that happens, always brings it top of mind. It's like, okay, so we've already talked about doing this. Well, maybe now we should do this or add this. Is that kind of the process of it?
It is. As it turns out, though, we were already looking at some of these things. We, you know, security cameras, anybody that's familiar with our district, most of our buildings are in the middle of cornfields without much lighting, without much security. They're kind of sitting ducks as far as what could happen. And I'm talking even after hours, just vandalism and that kind of thing, which, you know, kids will be kids, and we see a little bit of that every so often. But so we've already had security cameras and that kind of thing in place just to keep tabs on our facilities. And, you know, we take great pride in our buildings being in good shape, and that's part of it. You gotta deter those kind of things from happening. So security cameras have been a big thing. The other thing that's going to be big for us is we're going to do an integrated phone system within our classrooms, which I know is pretty common in a lot of places already. That's going to be twofold, though. It's obviously a benefit to us security-wise, because teachers will have direct access to either the office or emergency personnel from their classroom. But it just will open up our communication lines with our community and with our parents, too, because we'll have voicemail systems that we don't currently have and things like that, so parents and community members can reach our staff members more readily. So we like to twist everything and make it win-win. You know, the security camera systems are going to provide a better backbone for our wireless, because we're going to run fiber through our buildings, and it will provide for a wireless set up, so our 650 Chromebooks will zip along a little quicker than they did before we had security cameras.
Well, that Nick is number one graffiti. Nick assures me it wasn't him. He was set up.
Understood.
United District 304 Superintendent Jeff Whitson joining us this morning. So one of the big issues, security. You mentioned a little bit about the state and funding, and you know, one of the interesting things is that, we got a budget done. Hey, we've released money, but that doesn't mean you as districts have gotten the categorical payments you're supposed to get. And as far as I know, you've all gotten just one at this point.
We've gotten one.
And another one's supposed to be coming at any time.
It's been vouchered, but it hasn't been released at this point.
Which was last year at some point it was vouchered, right?
Yeah. Well, we got last year's money earlier this year, like right before Christmas this year. And we've gotten one of this year's payments here just in the last 2 weeks, probably a week, maybe. The other one's vouchered. If we don't get that money released by the end of this month, by end of March, we're two payments behind again, which is typically our cycle. You know, we'll get two payments behind, and then they'll make one up. And, you know, like I said, I've been at this 14 years. I can't remember when we've ever been really on cycle. So it's just something I kind of am used to, I guess.
Well, and in a rural district like you, and we talked with Joe Sornberger from Roland and Knoxville, and we'll talk with Mike Curry from Abingdon and Avon. With a rural district, that transportation payment is so huge. I mean, your costs are, and it's getting more so because there are more and more consolidated districts covering a bigger area of square mileage.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably our single largest cost in one area is transportation. We spend over $1 million a year in transportation. We cover 363 square miles. You know, I was reading something the other day. The state of Rhode Island is barely four times bigger than our school district geographically. So, you know, when you put things in perspective like that, the mileage we cover to get 960 kids to school, and virtually every student we have is qualifies for transportation, and those costs aren't decreasing. You know, that's the other thing. We're getting our transportation payments are number one behind, number two they're prorated, and our costs are not what they were in 2005 5 when Nick was running our halls.
When I was riding the bus. Do you have to have like huge reserves in? Because like, you're covering that cost until that money comes in. So this is just money that you're setting aside that could go to school programs that instead is going to transportation until the transportation money comes in to reimburse you.
Yeah, a lot of things are that way. We had a very large transportation fund budget. Note the word had. We've burned through a good chunk of it, not all of it. We still, you know, we started the year with probably $600,000 in the fund. And as long as we keep getting 3 or 4 payments a year, whether they're on the right cycle or not, mm-hmm. we can make it work. We just stem how much we lose each year. You know, last year I think we lost about $40,000 on the transportation budget. There have been years though where that number's been $200,000-$250,000 in one given year. So, those fund balances that we enjoyed when times were better in the early 2000s, they're hard to come by. And like I said, I talked earlier about last year, we had a better year financially. We were able to put some money away and to do some, to provide ourselves the opportunity to do some different things this year. Sure. So.
United District 304 Superintendent Jeff Witsit joining us here this morning. Jeff, Nick had mentioned the reserves, and some districts have had to dig into their reserves, some haven't. That's something that takes such a long time to build up, and that's there. So, you know, kind of in some ways that rainy day fund, because even with all this, even if you're getting your payments eventually, there are still things that come up. You need the new boiler. You need the new roof. There are physical things with the building, infrastructure, whatever the case may be. There are still things that come up. So now, that if that reserve gets depleted, well, now what do we do? I mean, that makes it tough to budget.
Absolutely. And I've been blessed with some great boards who have had a lot of forethought. And we've put together some planning and tried to decide what our future needs are going to be. But you're exactly right. You know, we've had a water heater and a couple other things go down just in the last month that were not in the budget when I wrote it. But we're also in the process this month, next a week from tonight, we have our board meeting, our March board meeting. Our district architect will be there, and we'll get our 10-year life safety survey report back, which they've been doing over the course of the fall. They've been surveying our buildings. That's a mandated program that a licensed architect does, and it basically tells you, hey, you've got these items you got to complete to get your buildings up to code and keep them safe for your kids, and those are mandated things to do. And you
mostly unfunded, I'm guessing.
Well, we have access to life safety funds, which okay. we can levy a nickel each year. That doesn't add up a ton. And then the other option is we can go and we can issue life safety bonds without going to referendum because those are mandated projects. But you know, the taxpayers are footing the bill for that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that'll come out of next Thursday's board meeting is I will do our State of the District. I hate calling it a State of the District address. I don't want to be associated in that kind of light. But
as czar of the district.
Right. But, you know, some of the things that are going to come out of that are, you know, we're probably going to look at having to finance some of these things to get mm-hmm. them done.
Jeff Witsit, United District 304 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Well, let's get away from that. Well, let me ask you, because it's been a kind of consensus of the other superintendents I talked to, as you are also starting your budgeting process for next year, you don't ever have any idea, at least over the last several years, what are we going to get from the state? Are we going to get anything? You know, at what rate, even with the new funding system? So is it basically close your eyes, throw the dart? That's, I think, the consensus.
Yeah, a little bit. But, I think my dartboard has shrunk down to where I pretty much know where my target is every year. We are 77% locally funded anyway, as of last year. Unfortunately, that number keeps going up because the state portion keeps going down. So as long the fact that we control 77% of our revenues makes it a little easier for me to budget maybe than some of the districts that aren't as locally dependent. But, what that means, though, is every time we do want to make a move, we're talking to our taxpayers and we're asking them to cover that. And, you know, that gets hard. No one wants to be that guy.
Yeah, and I think the taxpayers need to realize you don't like to do it. You don't want to do it. It's a necessary evil, I guess.
It is, and with the new evidence-based funding model that the state passed, the legislators passed last spring, which I think in concept is a great idea. I don't think it's going to probably end up working the way they intend it to because of some other legislation that they keep floating around. But with that evidence base, they pretty much have given us the framework, the guideline as to here's what it takes to provide a quality, adequate education for kids, no matter what your zip code is. And, when you look at those numbers, for us to get to those numbers, it means we have to utilize what we got locally.
Well, as we said, kind of heading down the stretch here, 9 weeks for the senior, I guess 8 weeks now for the seniors. Talk about some of the good you're looking forward to as the school year winds down. Obviously, a ton of extracurriculars, and talk about some of the other stuff coming up.
Yeah, we do have some pretty cool stuff. We have been in the process last fall. We're building a new baseball diamond on our campus. We're hoping mid-April we're going to be able to open it and actually play on it before the season is over this year. Playing surface is in great shape. We've just got some of the, a backstop and some of those things we still got to get completed. But that'll be fun. And just having our kids on campus and not busing them out yet again is going to be a benefit to us. So that should be fun. We also had the opportunity to purchase 8 acres just to the south of our high school. Right before the year ended, right in December there. And we'll have our FFA and our ag kids will actually be planting, and they're getting their own 8 acres worth of ag experience. So that'll be a different spring for us because our FFA kids are going to be pretty busy making sure we get the crops in.
Yeah. Will that food be going towards the school, that?
We've talked about farm to table. We're not sure on that yet. Our FFA advisor, we're doing a lot of figuring on that. We're really lucky that the family to the south of us, the Walters family, was willing to work with us and offer us up the 8 acres, because in this time, these economic times, I can completely understand why they wouldn't want to do that. But they're very supportive of what we're doing at United, and they thought, that's a great idea for our kids to get that hands-on kind of experience. One of the ideas, though, is for that FFA program to kind of sustain themselves with that, so it may be a crop and market type of thing where the ag business kids are kind of playing with how many bushels and how much can we get for it, and then they're paying for their FFA fees and their entry fees to all their contests and everything. Sure. But we've also thrown around the farm to table and the farmers market type of concept too. I think early on here we'll probably just be doing soybeans or corn total in the 8 acres, but over time I could see us plotting that a little bit and having maybe a more of a farmers market type of garden too. Sure. as SAE projects for our FFA kids. So we're just real excited about it, and like I said, once the weather turns here a little bit, probably 2 weeks or so, we're going to see our kids out there, and they're doing all the grunt work. They are getting all the spraying lined up, and they're getting the seed donated, and they're beating the bushes to make all that stuff happen, which is
really
just a
cool
quality experience, we mm-hmm. think.
See, the baseball team having a trivia night fundraiser. That'll be Saturday, March 10th, Monmouth VFW. You got that going. I want to ask you about one other thing here quickly before we wrap up. Boost, bringing out our students' talent. And this is a grant program? What's that about?
That is a grant program. It's a 21st century grant through the state of Illinois. We've been blessed with that. We are in our sixth year, actually, of the grant. And we just got word this week that we will be funded through 2022, which is awesome. It's a high school-only grant, and it's for outside-of-school time activities. So it's before and after-school activities, but we've got funding. So now we can buy materials. We've had cooking clubs. We've had a guitar club that
you missed out. Nick.
I missed out.
That has been running a little bit. It's been off and on a little bit. I'd love to see it. In fact, I have my guitar sitting in my office right now because we've been a little off with it this year, but our weight programs, our training programs, or the before and after. So now those sponsors that are actually covering those things, there's a pot of money to actually cover their time for it, which makes it much more worthwhile. We're able to do some art stuff. We do some family night stuff. Our art teacher has provided some family painting nights, and you know, kind of like the things you do at the wine shops around town. Now we do. Minus the wine, you know, we're getting some of those things done. We've had families come in, and we've done the Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. We've had people come in, and our families have come in, and that's been totally funded through this grant. Wow. And we've been able to offer that. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a great program. We have a coordinator that is on site all the time. He gets split between us and Monmouth Roseville Junior High has the same grant. So they're doing those kind of things at the junior high level. And honestly, that's one of the things we're trying to figure out, how we can do those things at our junior high, because we see the benefit to what's going on for our kids. And if nothing else, it provides tutors, paid tutors, mm-hmm. for after-school hours for kids that are definitely in need.
I think there's a new nickname here. Since he has a guitar in the office, the singing super.
Yeah, well, I do not sing.
I can see Mr. Witsit strolling the halls at United High School, kind of Jack Black in
School of Rock,
and walking the hall. Five times five is 12.
That would be closer than anybody good, that's for sure.
Jeff Witsit, he is the superintendent of United District 304, joining us this morning. Jeff, thanks so much. Always appreciate your time. Sounds like you got some great things going on in the district.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Tom.